So, Randy, maybe we're not even aware, and maybe the listeners on this, listening to this tape might not even be aware of the subconscious programming that's going on in their life or that's been going on for 10 years. How do you, number one, recognize what's going on, what you're being programmed, and then how do you change it?
Well, you hit it right on the head there because they don't recognize. 99.99999% of the people listening to this have no idea how much they're being programmed on a daily basis by something I call the data sphere. TV, radio, newspapers, magazines, the internet, email, phone calls, your spouse, your family, your friends. All of that stuff, all this information is assaulting you. Even when you're sleeping, you're being assaulted by this stuff sometimes. And 99% of it is negative lack programming, lack and limitation programming.
So, what are you recommending? That you get rid of your spouse, you get rid of the TV, you get rid of the television, you get rid of the newspapers, you get rid of everything, billboards, and you live in the rural country and the farm and ignore everything? Or what do you do?
Okay.
I mean.
Two issues here. One, it's funny to joke, yeah, did we get rid of the spouse of it? Well, the truth is, when I was 30 years old and I had the IRS seized my place, and those of you overseas, that's the tax authority here in the States. They seized my place for non-payment of taxes, and I was $55,000 in debt and no house or car or any of that stuff. And I decided I needed to make over my life. I didn't like myself, I didn't like my life, and I just gave myself permission to start over. And I did change where I worked, I changed where I lived, and I changed the people I hung around with. So, yeah, we kind of joke about that, but the truth is, you guys listening to the tape right now, you have surrounded yourself with people who give you permission to stay the way you are. That's why they're in your life. Even though I don't even know you, I know you have surrounded yourself with people who give you permission to stay the way you are. Because you don't have people around you. Most people don't want you to grow. And if you start to grow and develop and be more successful or make more money or whatever, they feel left behind. So rather than try to climb on the bandwagon with you, most people, because of the programming they've got from the data sphere, they're going to try to program you, pull you back down.
Right.
Think of billionaires and multi-multi-millionaires. How are they portrayed on TV? Whenever you see something on Bill Gates, Ross Perot, Larry Ellison, Howard Hughes, Ted Turner, Michael Jackson, anybody very reaches the top levels of success, look at what the media, and I mean down to JR on Dallas and the millionaire on Gilligan's Island. Okay? Millionaires, billionaires are geeks, they're eccentric, they're dishonest, they're weird, they're elitist, they're snobby, they're evil. When is the last time you saw a billionaire portrayed positively in a TV radio movie? I mean, it's just almost unheard of. Prime example, of course, is the movie Titanic. Now, why do I pick Titanic? Well, Titanic is the single most successful movie in the history of the world. In the history of the world, since the Earth's crust cooled, no movie has been seen by more people, made
Right.
more money. Now, why is that? That's because on 150 different levels, this movie is programming you that money is bad, rich people are evil, and it's spiritual to be poor. So when you see a movie like that, your lack and limitation programming at a subconscious, that's at a subconscious level, resonates with that movie. You feel it gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling. And that's why there's housewives that saw that movie 6 and 7 times. There's teenage girls who saw that movie 20 times. But broke records for overseas sales. It broke records for the network TV rights. I mean, just everywhere across the board. Well, let's dissect this movie from a prosperity consciousness standpoint. How does the movie open? We meet Leonardo. Leonardo's a happy-go-lucky guy. Now, why is he happy-go-lucky? Because he's poor. Poor people are happy-go-lucky. He doesn't have to worry, what if somebody keys the Rolls? Where do you park the Ferrari? The rising cost of helicopter maintenance. I mean, he didn't have any of those problems, right? He wins a trip in a card game. So lesson number one we learn is poor people are happy. Now we meet Rose. Next scene. Now Rose is most decidedly not happy. Now why is Rose not happy? Because she has to marry a rich jerk who she hates. Why is she marrying him? Because her mother told her The family needs the money. Mm-hmm. So what's lesson number two? You sell your soul for money. Now we get into the ship, and then we see Rose in the first class dining room, and she is rolling her eyes, and she's bored to tears listening to these boring rich people talk about polo and sifting brandy and smoking cigars. And we see a mother slapping her little girl's white lace-gloved hand because she doesn't know how to use the eighth oyster fork on the left. And we learn the lesson, rich people are elitist, snobby, boring, tedious people. And then, of course, Leonardo grabs her and says, hey, mamacita, come on down to third class and let me show you how to party. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we go down there and they're singing and dancing and joy and fun and seasons in the sun, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, we got it all there. So we learn, hey, poor people are fun, they're happy, they laugh, they dance. This is what's going on all through the movie. You know, the ship hits the iceberg. We got the guy Rose is going to marry is trying to kidnap a baby to get on the lifeboats. They're trying to bribe their way on the lifeboats. The rich people are rowing off in the sunset. The poor people are chained up downstairs. And we got the one mother says to her two kids, come on, we're going to go back to the cabin. We're going to sing church hymns till we drown. Level after level. This is the most evil movie ever made, in my opinion. Right? I mean, even get to the end of the movie. Remember now, Rose is like 180 years old. Her granddaughter's been working her fingers to the bone taking care of this old bag. She's got a necklace worth $50 million she could give her granddaughter. And what does she do? She feeds it to the sharks. You know, now, here's the fascinating thing I think about this movie. Who brought it to us? James Cameron. Now, little Jimmy made 10% of the take on this movie. Well, this was even last year. The count was this movie had taken in over $2 billion with a B. So I assume that's much higher now. But at that point, it was $2 billion. So that means little Jimmy made $200 million teaching us that it's spiritual to be poor.
Well, it's a great point. And so one of the things that's coming to my mind as you're sharing this with me is I'm thinking, well, I'm going to go see these movies because it's entertainment and I want to see what people are paying money to go see. But if I'm aware of the subconscious programming, the lack of programming that's going on, can I block it out? Because you can sit there and watch the movie from two different standpoints. You can watch it from, hey, you know, I want to let this program my mind, or two, I'm going to look at this as entertainment. At the same time, I have an awareness level of what's going on. Or are you saying simply skip the movie?
Well, I can only tell you what I do for me. Of every 10 Hollywood movies that come out, 9 of them I won't go to. If I look at the Nielsen ratings and they show the top 60 shows in the United States, there's always 56 to 58 I have never seen and I will never see. I've never seen the Drew Carey show. I've never seen the Friends show. And you say, well, how do I know I don't want to see them? I've seen the clips for them. In other words, I watch the baseball game on TV. I see a commercial for the show. I can know. This is not a show I need to see. Mm-hmm. I'm not into sitcoms with laugh tracks. It insults my intelligence to watch any show that has a laugh track, so I won't watch something like that. Take Titanic. I should have never went to see Titanic, and I knew I should have never went to see Titanic. But it was like, you know, I love sci-fi stuff. Cameron had done Aliens and Terminator and a lot of really breakthrough sci-fi shows. And it was the first movie ever cost $100 million and was all the hype, and so I went. And halfway through, I told myself, Randy, get out. They were up on the bridge. It's the top of the world, and they're all happy. And I'm saying, Randy, get out of here now. I didn't. I stayed. And for 2 or 3 days afterward, I was just out of harmony. I was sick. And I'm aware of this stuff. And I put up my shields, you know, to protect myself. But there's so many levels as it's coming at it. So do I still see, you know, what's my favorite movie of all time? The Matrix. Okay, because again, I love sci-fi stuff. Well, think back to the scene in the lobby where Neo and Trinity come in there, and they must kill about 300 people in 27 seconds. That's horrible from a lack consciousness, a prosperity consciousness state. I know that, so I make some trade-offs. I don't subject myself to that kind of stuff. So, like I said, most movies I won't see, most TV shows, most books on the bestseller list. And then I counter-program it. I read as a man thinketh, think a girl rich, the magic of thinking big, the power of positive thinking. You know, next to my bed, I have a little stand with the daily word, which as an affirmation I read every morning, and I keep as a man thinketh there. Mm-hmm. So that the first thing in the morning before I go to get out of the bed, last thing at night before I go to sleep, I read just a page or a paragraph or a couple of sentences of something positive to put in my subconscious mind.
Right. One of the things that, you know, I like to teach to our group, and I think this is, you just exactly touched on it, is if you can make a simple change, we call it the slight edge, where if you do something every day compounded over time can lead you to success, but, you know, a simple error in judgment compounded over time leads you to failure. So watching that negative programming sitcom every day during the day, eventually it'll make a big difference in your life in the negative direction. You won't notice that day, and you might not notice the next day. But reading 10 minutes of a good book, like, you know, Dynamic Laws of Prosperity or any of the books that you mentioned, just 10 minutes before you go to sleep, you might not notice that day or that week, but after a year, subconsciously, it's going to be magic.
After a year, the results are extraordinary. I'll tell you what else I do. I play subliminal CDs while I sleep at night. Mm-hmm. I have my speakers wired into the bedroom. I have a 5-CD player there. I put 5 different subliminal CDs. One's on accelerated learning. One is on prosperity. One is on health. And 2 other ones, I don't remember what they're on at the moment. And they play all night so that they actually, I hear them when I'm in an alpha state, because you go into an alpha state 4 or 5 times during the course of a night. And of course, when you're at an alpha state, that's when you program directly into your subconscious mind.
So one of the things that you could do is, as you're listening to this tape, going, well, how can I apply this to my networking business? Well, what we're talking about here is maybe set yourself and say, hey, I want to go on a 30-day mental fast. Like, put away the TV, put away the newspaper, put away as much of the negative programming as you can, and at the same time replace it with a good book, with maybe some subconscious programming CDs, with being around positive people, the kind of people you might want to be around, and see what happens. If you can just stick with it for 30 days, try it on like a jacket, at the end of 30 days you might say, wow, that was incredible, I want to continue to do this.
Yeah, if you unplug the TV for a month, most people, if they unplug the TV for a month, it would transform their life. Mm-hmm. If they did 5 minutes of positive stuff in the morning, 5 minutes right before they went to bed, they wouldn't even be the same person at the end of 30 days. And it's easy to get sidetracked. Okay, I need more sponsoring techniques. I need to know how to overcome objections. It isn't how to overcome objections. Yeah, do I have albums on how to overcome objections? Yes, I have whole Recruiting 101, okay? Whole album on nothing but invitations and objections and invites and presentation skills. But you know what? When you have prosperity consciousness, you don't get those objections. Because you have such a different consciousness, people look in your eyes and they say, I don't know what he knows, but he knows something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's doing, but he's doing something. I don't know where he's going, but I want to go where he's going.
Right.
And they hear your presentation instead of saying, well, how do I know this is legal? Or, you know, have you tried, you know, how do I know the products that work? They don't even think that stuff. You finish the presentation and they say, what do I have to do to start right away? How much money do I need to get started? Because you create that consciousness in yourself, and what you are is what you attract. What you are is what you reflect. And the thing I've been trying to tell people in network marketing for the last 6-7 years is it's not the how-to stuff. You can learn all the how-to stuff in 12 hours. My book, the 100K album, maybe the recruiting one. You listen to those, how to do meetings, how to do work with long-distance lines, how to make presentations. It's simple stuff. It's not rocket science. The issue is really believing you're supposed to be wealthy, really believing you're supposed to be healthy, you're supposed to be happy, you're supposed to have healthy relationships, and then giving yourself permission to do that. And that's all consciousness stuff.